Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims who talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as a young Muslim today.
Welcome back to Real Talk Real Muslims, a podcast where we share our experiences as first-generation American Muslims and where we aim to connect with other young Muslims to let them know that they are not alone in their struggles. This is Rawan.
And this is Rand. So we're just going to get right into today's episode. Today we're going to be talking about the journey of growing into our true selves because we think it's a really important topic, and the process just happens when we get older, and it's not like, you know, a one-shot thing. It's a lifelong journey, but I feel like at the age that we're going through right now, it's like really important for us to be comfortable with who we are. So everyone's journey is different, but we feel like Muslims, especially like young Muslims, they have a lot of unique elements that overlap with this process. So we're going to be talking a little bit about those.
Yeah, and I feel like especially now, because Ren just started college and I went back to school, like, and have been in college for a little bit too, like, we're both kind of in that phase where we're growing into our true selves. And even I think for like high schoolers and stuff too, just like the time period of like your late teens to like mid-20s and for the rest of your life, it's all about learning about who you are. So hopefully this episode kind of helps highlight maybe how that can be different for young Muslims, at least from our personal experience, how it's been different for us.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the first thing kind of is that we have this question of like, what is our identity as young Muslims, or like, who am I kind of thing. And sometimes it can be hard, for me at least, it was hard to like figure out like who I was growing up, because I felt like I just had different personalities everywhere. Not in the sense that, you know, I was like being fake, but in that I felt like I couldn't carry my entire identity with me to all the spaces that I occupied. Like, for example, when I was younger and I went to school, like, I felt like my Arab side and my Muslim side was like just being pushed away because there wasn't really like space to talk about it, and it was just different from everyone around me because I didn't go to Islamic school. And then when I would like go home, like, my American side was kind of like buried because there was so much emphasis on my Muslim and Arab side. I don't know if you felt that.
No, definitely. And I went to Islamic school and I still felt that way. Like, I wasn't able to like fully connect with anyone. We were like four people in the class. So, I mean, it wasn't that like, you know, helpful to find your Islamic side really, because you also, I feel like everywhere you go, like, whether you want to show your Muslim side and like you're at an Islamic school, then you can't show like the other sides, or you feel too haram, or like things like that. So I feel like it doesn't matter where you are, or at least like for me, I didn't feel like I could completely be anywhere, like not at the masjid, not at school, not around like certain people. So like it's really hard to pick and choose which like parts of yourself you want to show when you're with certain people.
Yeah, and a lot of times for me, I felt like I was living like a double or triple life, and even now I still feel this way. Like, when I go to college, like, there are just different aspects of my life and personality that are emphasized because of the environment that I'm in that are not emphasized when I'm at home or when I go to the masjid. Like, I just feel like sometimes I have, like, different lives going everywhere, and it's different, I think, than, like, being fake. Like, I think there's, like, a fine line between the two. One is, like, your identity is affected by the environment you're in. The other one is, like, being fake. Like, I feel like I'm the same person, like, who I am, what I believe, and how I behave. But there's just different parts of me that I feel like I can't really talk about. Like, if I'm in college or something and, you know, like, it's normal school, not COVID school, and we're, like, on campus, we're, like, in the middle of all my classmates and stuff, like, I feel like I can't necessarily talk about maybe how I'm feeling as, like, a Muslim in America in today's climate, like, with my non-Muslim friends. Like, I feel like that part of me is being suppressed, and not being able to acknowledge that part of you is really hard. I feel like we've talked about, you know, just now, like, what it hiding part of our identity and feeling that, but I guess, like, in your opinion, like, what is that, how has that shown up for you? I sound like your therapist, but, like, what, you know, what is, like, an example of that? I feel like we can share that with people.
I don't know, but for me, like, when I didn't feel like I could be completely myself, now that I can say, like, in high school or whatever, like, I just couldn't connect to people, and that, like, led me to not have a social life at school. Like, I would just have, you know, my friends, like my Muslim friends that weren't even in my grade, and then I would have, like, you know, acquaintances at school, and it wasn't very comfortable because everyone around you is, like, hanging out, and, you know, they would invite me to go hang out with them and stuff, but I would always feel, like, left out, and it's not their fault, like, it's totally on me because I just never felt like I could fit in. So I kind of distanced myself. Even when they made the effort to, like, include me, I would just be like, yeah, no, this is not my scene, I'm not going. Even if it wasn't, like, to, like, parties or anything, just, like, normal hangouts, I don't know, like, and I don't know, like, I just, when I would, like, hang out with someone, or, like, I'm friends with someone, and I talked about this in the other episode, like, I like to feel completely myself, and having a conversation, like, you can just say anything. And I didn't feel that way because there's just some things that, you know, my non-Muslim friends don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's interesting how you said, like, it was your fault. And I feel like a lot of times we do tend to put that blame on ourselves. We're like, it's my fault, I don't fit in. But in reality, I don't think that's, like, anyone's fault in particular, mm-hmm. you know? It's, like, something that I think we've been conditioned as we grow up to think, like, it's your fault. Like, we always think, like, oh, if I don't fit in with a group of people, it's my fault for not changing myself to meet their standards. But a lot of times I think it's important to frame it that, like, you don't have to change yourself to meet other people's standards, especially when it comes to, like, the typical American standard, because, as we know, like, it's obviously the result of, like white kind of ideals and, you know, white values. And as someone who's not white, you know, there's often a lot of pressure in our society to change yourself to become like that. And I feel like I agree with you on, like, not being able to relate to people, like, in school, like, in high school. I don't think I really connected with a lot of people because, again, like, my school didn't have that many Muslims in it, and it wasn't an Islamic school, obviously. And I felt like at the end of the day, like, I just couldn't connect with them because I didn't share the same core values.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there's a difference between, like, obviously having good relationships with people regardless of the fact of whether they share the same beliefs as you. But I think for me, there are certain, like, core, like, non-negotiables, I guess you can call them,
mm-hmm.
that I feel like my friends have to have in order for me to fully feel comfortable around them. Like, I feel comfortable around you, for example, because, like, we're both Muslim. I know that, you know, everything that Islam is, like, laying out, like, we try our best to follow it. Like, obviously we're not perfect, but, like, we at least believe that we should have those values regardless of how well we do in acting upon them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with my friends at school, I didn't feel like that. Like, for example, if my friends were, like, hanging out with me during the day, like, okay, yeah, that's, you know, it would be fine. And then they'd be like, oh, like, there's this party on the weekend, like, are you gonna come and stuff like that. And you know that, like, at those parties there's gonna be drinking or whatever. So personally for me, I felt like, oh, I don't want to go to that. Like, that's not something, an environment I want to be in personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that was kind of where I always felt that disconnect, where, like, I knew that at some point in my interaction with them that we were gonna kind of have to, like, cross paths on it, like, go in different paths at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I was gonna have to make a decision.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I feel like I could relate to that, but also, like, I took it to the complete extreme where I just stopped associating myself because I don't, like, I didn't want those things to come up, like, having to say no to things or whatever, so I just, like, you know, ended it all, which is, like, it's not the right way to handle things, but I felt like it was easier at the time.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, also, like, I don't even know if there is a right way to handle it, like, we put so much pressure on ourselves to, like, be, like, part of the society around us, and we have a certain definition of what it means to be part of that society, but, like, being part of the American society around us, like, has different definitions for everyone. I just think we've been fed the idea that, like, you have to show up to all the social things, you have to, all your best friends, like, need to be, like, white Americans, stuff like that. But I think that for young Muslims, like, we've started to kind of create, like, our own spaces, either,
mm-hmm.
like, in person or virtually. Like, you know, there's, like, Muslim TikTok and Muslim Twitter,
yeah.
and Muslim Instagram and stuff like that. Like, even virtually, we've been able to kind of, like, create smaller communities where that's how we identify as Americans. Like, that's more of our identity. At least for me, that's what I felt like. So there definitely is that pressure, though, to, like, want to be part of everything that's going on. And then having that, like, cognitive dissonance of, like, well, that goes against my beliefs, but you also don't want to miss out, so.
I feel like for me, and maybe other Muslims as well, you kind of feel like you have to compromise yourself, like, in the society that we live in. Like, just from simple things like not saying your name correctly. Like, for
mm-hmm.
me, I always make it a point, even in class, when, you know, the teacher's, like, at that first name, and my name, like, my last name starts with an A, so it's always me at the beginning. So, you know, she's, like, struggling, and then she picks it up, and she's so happy to start saying names, and then she, like, sees your name, and she's like, I might butcher, like, these
mm-hmm.
names, but, you know, like, she means your name. And, you know, I've, like, sat in classes where it's, like, you know, 3 minutes of me trying to say my name correctly to her, and then at the end, for the rest of the year, I get called ruined, even though my name is Rand. And, like, all my friends at school were like, you know, you need to tell her, like, your name's Rand. And I don't know, I just couldn't bring myself to do that in the middle of the class, like, in the middle of the, you know, the school year, because I already said it right the first time. But, like, even things like that, like, I feel like we should make it a point for people to say our names right. Like, we say their names right, and, like, even our parents try to say our friends' names right, you know? So I don't understand, like, why it's a big deal for people to just be like, hey, can I call you, like, T? Because that's easier for me.
Yeah.
But, like, it's my name. Like, it has something special to me. Like, why can't you take the time to say it right?
Yeah. And I think a lot of times we, again, are, like, conditioned to, like, shrink ourselves down and not take up space. And one of those ways is, like, with our names, for example. And even my name, like, when it's pronounced in English, is pretty much identical to how you pronounce it in Arabic. So for me, I'm, like I'm personally okay with the pronunciation of it. But for other people, for example, like, your name, like, gets butchered, like, way more. But even for my name, like, when people get confused on how to pronounce my name, I used to always say, like, oh, it's, like, Joanne, but with an R. And I noticed that, like, I was always giving them, like, a white American, stereotypical American, like, name to give them a guide for how to pronounce my name, in a sense. So I was kind of just, like, trying to make it easier for them by, like, referencing, I guess, like, that, like, a different name. And I noticed that I was doing that, and I tried to stop doing that because I'm like, why do I have to, like, explain myself, like, every single time and be like, oh, like, if that's hard for you, just think of, like, Joanne, or just think of, like, Row, like, rowing a boat, and then Anne, like, the name Anne. Like, why do I always have to simplify it down to, like, white America's definition of what is normal as a name in order for me to, in order for you to just pronounce my name correctly? Because I'm not asking for that much.
Yeah, like, it's not that hard, but, like, I feel like when people keep pronouncing your name wrong, it just, like, builds up frustration. I'm just like, wow, you have, like, all these degrees, but you can't sit here and pronounce my name correctly. Referencing teachers, even, like, my teacher at my Islamic school, she had a huge thing with me about how my name was ruined because I had a U in my name and not an A. Like, honey, it's my name, I know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just, like, one thing that bothers me. But also, like, even I remember I was at a non-Islamic school in, like, elementary school, and my mom would pack me za'atar, and it's, like, oregano, and people thought it was, like, moths and, like, butterflies.
Ew.
And, like, people would make fun of me because, you know, my 3 weeks at that school at the beginning.
And I know that with a lot of people that even aren't Arab or whatever, because we're speaking from our personal perspective, but I'm sure even, like, Desi people and some of my, like Chinese friends or, like, friends who have parents from different cultures, like, say that they had the same thing growing up. Like, you know, they would bring, like, a lunch that looked different and everyone would make fun of them for it. Or, like, they would at least be like, what's that, in, like, a really, like, condescending tone.
Yeah.
And I just think that, like, it's interesting to see, like, how we have to experience so many of these microaggressions from when we're so young, whereas, like, our white peers, like, don't really have to experience that same thing. Like, they don't necessarily experience, like, someone, like, bashing on your culture, bashing on your faith. Or even when we were young, like, 9/11 had just happened, like, and we had just been born. So we were just, like, literally born into a world where we constantly heard people around us, like, bashing our identities. So I feel like it's not a surprise that for some young Muslims, like, we grew up and we feel, like, a sense of insecurity about our identity. Or we feel maybe that, like, we have to kind of compromise bits of ourselves. At least for me personally, I'm not going to speak for other people. Yeah. But sometimes I felt that way, and it's taken a lot of, like, active, you know, work for me to think about, like, okay, like, how do I make sure that I'm not shrinking myself back? How do I make sure that I'm not trying to just, like, make it easier for the white people around me, and that I'm not, like, fully stepping into my identity? Like, it's taken a lot of, like, active unwinding. And because my parents didn't grow up in the US, like, I don't think they fully understand that. Like, I've had conversations with them about this, so I'm not, like, bashing them. And, like, I've talked to them openly about this, but, like, they don't understand, like, what it's like to grow up as, like, a Muslim minority in a non-Muslim country. So, like, they can't even, like, sit there and help me, like, actively reverse these ideas, you know, because they just don't share that experience.
I liked how you brought up, like, your other friends, like, that might not be Muslim that also go through these things. Like, it's minorities. I saw this TikTok, and literally, like, it was, like, this Chinese guy. He was talking about how, like, his friends used to make fun of him because of, like, bringing dumplings to school, and they were like, what are you eating? Like, that's so gross. And he was like, that same friend, because, you know, now, like, Chinese food is so cool, Arab food is so cool, they were like, hey, you want to go to this, like, new Chinese dumpling place? And he was like, you know, at that moment I just felt, like, so, like, angry because of, like now, since it's cool, like, we'll accept it into our, like, culture, but before it was like, not even respecting what I'm doing, you know. Like, it's not like, hey, try my dumplings. Like, that's not what he was telling them. He was just like, that's what I'm eating for lunch today. But, you know, they made fun of him. But now, since it's, like, cool, even, like, falafel, like, everyone, like, oh my god, I'm gonna go get a falafel sandwich. Like, you know, things that are, like, parts of our culture that are cool to them, they'll take it in. But then the rest of us, they just kind of, like, ignore it.
Yeah. And, like, okay, one thing on that note, I'm just gonna go take a little side road here. I'm gonna take a back road to my point. But I saw this thing on Instagram, and it was a restaurant menu in New York. I think it was in, like, Brooklyn or something. And the restaurant was not, like, an Arab restaurant. It was just something, it was something else, and they were serving shakshuka on their menu, and it was like $17, and I was like, these people are getting scammed, because we all know, anyone who has ever made shakshuka, or if you're Arab, like, you know, it does not cost $17 to make shakshuka. And anyway, yeah,
isn't it like kind of like an omelet?
Yeah, it's like eggs and like tomato sauce, I think, and like other things. Like, it's a very like relatively cheap dish to make. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just think it's interesting too that I was thinking about it when I saw that restaurant menu. I was like, if I would have eaten something like that in front of my white friends, even now, I feel like I still would have gotten some, like, just because of the nature of the school that I attend, I feel like I would still get like weird looks. But like, now it's just being like taken and commercialized. Yeah. And people are profiting off of our culture without giving us any credit. Mm-hmm. And while we had to suffer, you know, years back with everyone thinking it was weird. So that's just my little rant about shakshuka. But
also, like, when we say like white people, we don't mean like all white people do this. Yeah. Like, obviously there's a lot of great white people that are cultured. So I guess, like, changing gears from, you know, the things that while we're trying to build our identity as young Muslims, we go through, like, from the non-Muslim community, I feel like we also get a lot of influence from our Muslim community. So, like, first of all, being your full self, like, in the masjid or around Muslims is also very hard, because there's this, like, concept of being too halal for the haram people and then too haram for the halal people. And, like, I feel like at the masjid, you can't even be, like, completely yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I feel like, I've told Rand about this before, but, like, normally, like, in my day-to-day life, like, I'm okay with, like, wearing skinny jeans. Like, personally, that's a personal dress choice I make. I'm, like, I'm okay with that. Like, I view that as something that I can wear. Mm-hmm. But every time I'm, like, about to go to the masjid, I, like, start thinking, like, oh, my God, is someone gonna judge me because my jeans are too tight or because they're rolled up, or is someone gonna call me out? Because it's not even, like, okay, it's, like, even if I don't care what other people think about me, a lot of times in our masjids, we have this, like, culture of just, like, calling people out and, like, going up to them and, like, criticizing them to their faces about the choices they're making. So it's kind of scary.
Yeah, that's happened to me multiple times. So let me tell you, the three different circumstances, three different things that they didn't agree with. First, I was wearing ripped jeans at the masjid, and I, like, got pulled aside to tell me how that was inappropriate. And, like, you can't see my skin. I wear hijab, but, like, they were just ripped. So I guess the illusion was freaking people out.
Yeah, and they're, like, patched.
Yeah, they're patched. And then, even if they're not patched, like, it's not your business to come up to people and tell them what to wear. Yeah. That's why, like, a lot of people, we'll get into that later. But anyway, the second one was wearing nail polish when it was that time of month in my Sunday school class. And I got pulled aside to tell me not to wear nail polish because, you know, then the boys in my class were going to know that it was the time of month. But it wasn't like I was violating any prayer rules. Like, I couldn't pray, so I could wear nail polish. That's the only time that you can, like, really wear nail polish. Well, I, like, that's what I believe. Other people have other beliefs about it. But, like, even that. And then the other one, I was wearing lip gloss, not lipstick, let me tell you. And apparently it was too much because they also told me, like, don't wear lip gloss because there's, again, guys in my class that, let me tell you, the guys weren't even looking at us. We sat behind them, like, and I don't care, like, you know, like, even if they look, like, that's not my issue, don't look. But, like, one of the rules for guys is to ghudd an-nazar. That means, like, you know,
lower your gaze.
So that seems like an issue that they have. And they weren't even looking, bro.
Yeah, and also, for context, I think Rent was, like, 14.
Yeah, definitely, I was 14.
She was, like, young, like, a baby. And another thing, too, that's interesting that you brought up was that pretty much every single one of those comments was about how men would perceive you. Mm-hmm. And I think in our communities a lot, we tend to hold women to a higher, quote-unquote, Islamic standard, or that's what we claim that we're holding them to, because we really care about what men are going to think of women. Not even from the Islamic perspective, I personally think a lot of it has to do with, like, culture.
No, definitely.
And, like, you know, women need to be viewed in a certain way so they can be, like, desirable for marriage, or whatever the concept is. But I notice a lot of times, like, in my, like, life growing up, that men were never, like, quote-unquote, policed for what they were wearing or for what they were doing in the masjid. Like, if guys showed up to the masjid, like, wearing short shorts, which,
like, chubbies,
yeah, like, you know what, like, you can wear whatever you want, but, like, if we're just gonna go, like, based on facts, like, you know, in Islam it says that in order for you, like, men have to cover, like, their awra, which is from, like, their navel to the knee. Mm-hmm. So, like, technically, if you're in the masjid and praying or whatever, and we're gonna have the same standard for men that we have for women, then all the, like, masjid police should be going up to the men and telling them to pull their shorts down or to put pants on. But I don't think I have ever heard and I have a brother, so like I hear a lot of things about like what happens on the men's side of the masjid, and I don't think I've ever heard a story about men getting policed for that, or about someone calling boys out in front of everyone, in front of their Sunday school class, in front of wherever, telling them that they need to like pull their shorts down or whatever. And even if it does happen, I just think the policing of women's bodies and what women wear and how they look and how they act and how they talk, literally every single thing that women do, is so much more prominent for women than it is for men. And that's something that we see more broadly in our society, not just in the Muslim community, but as Muslims, I think that we should hold ourselves to a higher standards. And by us, I mean, I'm talking to the Masjid Haram police, that we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard as Muslims and not like submit to these like sexist values that exist in our broader society. Like, as Muslims, we always hear like, oh, Islam is perfect, which it is, you know, we know Islam is perfect, it's sent from God, and we need to like try and abide by it, and we need to try and be the best Muslims that we can. So if we really are going to try and uphold all of Islam's values, then we can't just be like tossing them out the window when it comes to our everyday interactions with people that just perpetuate like cultural and societal norms. So that's the end of my soapbox about that. But yeah, even going to the masjid, like I feel like I'm policed so much for how I act and what I do and how I talk. And you know, we see this in so many ways in the masjid, even with the inclusion of women like in leadership positions in the masjid and stuff like that. And I feel like all of these just contribute to not being able to grow into your true self, because you're being repressed in so many ways.
Yeah. Throughout this whole time, like what we're talking about are things that they're not isolated situations. Like, these are things all our friends have gone through. Like,
yeah.
Every one of us has had a comment about her pants or her shirt, like length and things like that. So I definitely agree with Rawan. And then the other thing is that like pushes people away from the masjid, and it pushes youth away from the masjid. And if we're going to be like the next generation, then people like the masjid needs to start, or not the masjid, just like these people need to keep their comments to themselves, because like, you know, the person that you're telling this to could be trying to do like their best, and like you're pushing them to like a ledge. And I was like listening to this thing about how you know, like people telling others about their hijab, like, oh, like you're wearing your hijab wrong. Maybe that's like the last strand that she's holding onto her hijab, or she's trying to improve her modesty. And with you giving like your judgy comments, you're not like helping with that. You're just moving her towards like the other side, you know. So I guess these people, when like they come up to you, they have a good intention, but just like the way that they say it, and like being so involved in how like people dress and talk and act, even if they do have a good intention, it's like not needed at all. Like, people should just mind their own business, because like literally I know so many young Muslims that just like stop coming to the masjid because like, you know, adults would tell them like, you have to do this when you come to the masjid, or you have to do that, or just like giving advice that wasn't asked for. And you know, it just like pushes them away instead of like making them want to come. And like, each one of us is on like a different path, and like we each have our own journeys, and like people don't know everything that goes on to your life. So people, I feel like, should just stop assuming and like stop giving their unsolicited advice.
Yeah. And for me, like, something that I feel like I've learned, just that applies to me personally, it might apply to other people as well, but like one thing that I view as part of like growing into like my true self, or like the cliche, like finding yourself or whatever, is like learning to be confident in my decisions and in the choices that I make, mm-hmm. and in like being convinced like of something before I decide to make that change in my life. So for me, like, as I like grow older, I'm like, you know, I'm like moving into like different phases of my life in the next few years and stuff like that. Like, I feel like one thing that I'm really trying to do is like being confident in myself and in my choices. And a lot of times, I feel like 9 times out of 10, people don't change the way that they are or their behaviors just because someone else told them to do it, or just because someone else judged them or reprimanded them. And like, also in my classes, like in my public health classes, like we learn a lot about like behavior change and the scientific process behind like how people change their behaviors. So not to like make this like super academic and nitty-gritty, but people judging you for it is definitely not one of the things that causes people to change their behaviors, as I've like learned in my classes.
I feel like that makes people rebel. Like,
exactly. Yeah. And I feel like one example of this is I saw this blogger on Instagram who I really like, and she like does like fashion and stuff like that. And she used to wear her hijab in like a certain way, and a lot of people used to say like really horrible things to her, like under every single picture without fail. There was always a comment about it and stuff like that. And she kept wearing her hijab the way she felt was right. And, like, that's her choice, and she can do what she wants. And if you don't like it, like, why are you following her just to say that to her?
Yeah.
And eventually, later on, she started wearing her hijab in a different way. And she said that it had taken her a couple of years to become convinced of a different way that she should wear her hijab, and that she was going to start wearing it differently. And she was saying that because she deleted, like, a lot of her old pictures. But I realized, like, in that moment, I was like, okay, so, like, all of the people that would, like, comment under all her pictures over the past, like, however many years, they didn't make her suddenly wake up the next day and be like, oh my god, I'm gonna change the way I wear the hijab. Like, at the end, it took her, like, coming to a decision to herself of how she felt wearing the hijab was right for her to make that change. And I feel like that's so important to understand for, like, growing into yourself and, like, becoming confident in yourself is, like, being convinced and having, like, solid reasons behind the things that you value in life, you mm-hmm. know? Like, you have to believe in your values to hold them as you get older, because you're under less and less influence from your parents and the masjid and so many other things.
No, definitely. There, even, like, with people taking off their hijab, like, people comment, like, oh, like, put your hijab back on, or, like, you're gonna go to hell if you don't do that or whatever.
Yeah.
There was, like, this video about it, and she was just, like, the girl was just saying, like, you telling people that, you're not, like, it's not nice, you're not helping them in any way, you're making them, like, feel even worse, or, like, it doesn't have an effect on them, and also, like, you're, like, a nobody to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you commenting under all these bloggers' things, like, they don't even know who you are, so they're not gonna take your advice to heart anyway. So, you know, in Islam, like, it's good to give people advice, but I feel like we as Muslims, or, like, you know, those people that give advice, just got it twisted on how to give advice.
Yeah, when we say, like, you, we're referencing the haram police that I think all of us and our listeners, you know very well, the haram police that exists in our communities
yeah.
and just on the internet and everywhere.
It's kind of sad that, like, all of us
have
see
this experience.
Yeah, because, like, I was going through TikTok and I saw this one about how, you know, masjids don't give, like, Muslim women, like, they're not a part of the executive committee or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just talking, but she was, like, switching it, like, as if all the executive committee was women and a guy was coming up to them and, like, asking them to
yeah.
take their suggestions. And I was like, oh my god, like, I've heard stories about that. Like, it's really sad.
Yeah, it's, like, unfortunate that we can, like, make a whole episode where we reference multiple times, like, judgy people in our communities. And I guarantee you, like, every single Muslim person listening to this episode, like, immediately thinks of, like, 10 instances in their life where they've experienced, like, being judged and not being advised according to, like, how Islam tells us we should advise people if you do decide to, if someone does decide to do that.
Yeah, because, like, we all still wear the jeans that we want. We all still, like, put the, oh, makeup too. Like, we all still put up the makeup that we want on our faces. Like, you telling me this is just gonna, like, make me have hard feelings towards you, but it's not going to change anything about my life.
Yeah, and I think even sometimes, like, in addition to, like, what we've talked about, kind of, like, feeling left out, like, when we're in the masjid, or feeling, like, ostracized for making certain choices or making certain decisions, I feel like even, like, in the Muslim community, I always used to tell myself, like, oh, that's where I fit in, like, that's where I belong. But, like, the more I grow older and the more I, like, think about, like, again, like, who I am and, like, you know, what I want in my life, like, I realize that, like, that's, again, not where I fully fit in, because a lot of times I find, like, I'm leaving behind parts of my identity or trying to, like, shrink myself
mm-hmm.
just to make other people perceive me in, like, a certain way, even subconsciously. Like, consciously, if you were to ask me, do you do this, I'd be like, no, of course not. But subconsciously, I do this, like, even in things like the MSA and stuff like that. Like, I know personally, like, I've heard, like, a lot of people say, like, oh, this person in the MSA is too religious, or this person in the MSA is not religious enough, and there's, like, this pressure to kind of, like, be, like, the perfect medium. People are like, oh, we should have a balance. And I feel like having that pressure from our Muslim peers, like, people that are my age and people that are my friends, is also challenging. So I feel like one of the big takeaways we wanted to bring out from this episode was, like, how do we go about becoming and finding our true selves? And like we said before, we both personally believe that it's a lifelong journey. But I think, like, one way for me personally that has helped me, obviously I'm still, like, nowhere near fully finding out, like, who I am and, like, what I stand for and everything. But as I've improved, I think that one thing for me has been doing things around people that I don't know. Like, you know, when you meet someone who's, like, completely new and they don't know anything about you and you don't really know anything about them and you're just, like, meeting for the first time. Like, it's kind of a really nice experience because
mm-hmm.
you don't really have any, like, preconceived notions about who they are. They don't know, like, your history or, like, you know, good or bad, and they don't know, like, where you grew up or, like, who your family is or who your friends are. So all of those, like, external factors that we usually use to make a judgment about someone before we've even met them are kind of, like, not there. I don't know if you have that experience.
No, definitely. Like, I was doing this internship during the summer, and I just felt so confident to say, like, whatever I believed in and, like, you know, interact, like, with people.
Because they were all new.
Yeah, because they were all new, and, like, they couldn't be like, oh, like, she's just doing this. Or, like, you know, like, I could just be who I am and, like, say what I want and then just, like, walk away from it, you know?
Yeah, and, like, I think for me, like, when I was in high school, I attended this, like, program, and basically, like, all of the people in it were I had never met in my life. I didn't follow any of them on social media before, like, literally did not know anything about them, and I was the only person, like, from my area, so I didn't have a friend to go with or anything. So when I went, like, I feel like that was the first time I started, like, thinking about this idea of, like, becoming my true self and detaching myself from what I previously thought was my true self. Like, before I went to those kind of things, like, I had an idea of who I was, and I was like, yeah, I'm confident in who I am. And then after that, I started to, like, just change my perspective on, like, who I was and, like, you know, what I believed and everything. Because when I was around completely new people, like, I'm just saying, like, I didn't feel like I was going to be judged by them because they didn't know anything about me.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I was like, well, I'm not going to see them again after this. Like, usually this is for, like, conferences or programs or something like that. So you just feel so confident. And in that moment, I realized, like, that's something I want to carry with me, like, in my everyday interactions with people. Is like, I just want to be, like, have that same level of confidence in everything. Just, like, being confident in myself, no matter what I think other people, like, think about me or how they perceive me.
Yeah, and I think, like, another thing is, like, you know, like, you know, right now we're going back into our normal life, so, like, or kind
school
of.
School and stuff.
Yeah, like, school. Like, we have other things going on, and, like, one thing is to try, like, try our best not to, like, tie ourselves with those things, like, you know, with school, because, like, you know, with COVID and all of that, like, I found that I tie myself with everything like that. Like, whenever I'm in school, I'm just, like, in school, you know, and, like, that's, my whole life kind of revolves around that and whatever I plan and stuff. And when I'm in school, I don't, like, take time to be, like, oh, so, like, what are we feeling today? Or, like, you know, are things changing, whatever? So, like, trying to be, like, present with ourselves even when our schedules get busy all over again, but, like, trying to separate ourselves from those activities and stuff like that. And, like, Rowan was talking about it last time, how, like, we kind of tie our self-worth with these things, and, like, she made a great point because, yeah, like, I definitely do that, and I don't know, like, about you guys, but, like, that's something that I feel like to find our true selves, we need to, like, start separating those things and, you know, carry a whole person without all those activities.
Yeah, once in one of my, I think it was a class, we had to write down ways to describe ourselves, but we couldn't use any titles. Like, you can't say, like, student, like, junior in college or whatever, like, daughter, son. Like, you had to use, like, adjectives to describe yourself. And this was a class of, like pretty smart people, like, college students, and no one could do, like, more than, like, a couple words. Like, no one could write them down because, like, our professor was explaining, like, we're so used to describing ourselves, like, in titles. Like, when someone's like, oh, tell me about yourself, you're like, well, like, I'm a student at the school, or, like, I go to this graduate, I'm in this graduate program, or I have this job, and I'm in this extracurricular. Like, that's how we're trained to describe ourselves. And, again, I think that, like, one example of how us tying our self-worth to our titles can be subconscious happened to me when I started college. So if you would have asked me before I started college, do you tie your self-worth to how well you do in school and, like, how productive you are in school, I would have been like, no, of course not. Like, I value myself as a person regardless of how well I do. But you'll never know if it's true, if you truly are like that or not, until you don't have that thing anymore. So my freshman year of college, for the first time ever, like, I made the lowest grades I had ever made my freshman year of college. And after that semester, like, that whole summer, I stayed abroad after that semester. So it was, like, a really good time period for me to be away from all of, like, the normal influences in my life, like, away from my school, away from my friends, away from my parents, everything. And I, like, thought so much about it that summer, and I realized, like, before that point, I tied my self-worth to how well I did in school. Like, I viewed myself as, like, better or more worthy of, like, just things in life if I had done well in school. And after that summer, I really had to start, like, reversing it. Like, I had to spend so much time, like, being like, okay, like, it's okay if I, like, flunk this semester. Like, if I literally failed the entire semester, like, I have to learn to be okay with that because I have to detach my self-worth from that. Anyway, so that was, like, a big learning moment for me for, like, growing into myself, is, like, was not tying my worth to that. And I think it's going to be harder as we get older. Like, I'm applying to grad school, like, in less than a year, and a lot of my self-worth now, I find myself being like, my self-worth is my MCAT score, my GPA, my extracurriculars, my resume, like how long it is, how mm-hmm. impactful it has been. And I'm like finding that as like I get older, I'm just like gonna keep tying my self-worth to the next step in life, like where I get into grad school. And then once I'm in grad school, it's gonna be the grades I make in my class rank. And then once I'm done with grad school, it's gonna be what my job is and how much money I make. So that's kind of what we meant when we said it was gonna be a lifelong process of yeah. learning to kind of detach yourself from those things and like finding out like at your core, like who am I without all of these socially constructed ideas.
And obviously we're not at our masjids right now. We're not like, you know, physically in school or around like these places where we feel like we can't completely be ourselves, but like don't worry peeps, social media is taking that place. Like it's feeling that responsibility where like, you know, you can't be completely yourself because like the judgments in social media are still there, even mm-hmm. though you're like kind of hiding like behind a screen, but the judgment still carries there. So like the struggle is still there, like, and especially when you're seeing the highlights of other people's life too, like that kind of contributes to like I get doubting who you are or like your journey.
Yeah. And we hope that by sharing kind of like how we also just still like don't really have any idea like the best way to handle all of these things, because it's again a lived experience that we all have, or many of us may experience like every single day, whether that be in person or virtually. But we just hope that by sharing our experiences with you guys and like our thoughts on this and kind of taking you to like look into our lives at this point when we're still unsure of who we are and still growing into it, that it can help other people feel comfort that like it's okay to feel that too, even mm-hmm. if you're older, even if you're younger, like whatever. So we just hope that us sharing it was able to give some comfort and some sense of relatability with all of you guys.
Yeah, and especially during this time, because like if you asked me, Ran, who are you before COVID, I would have given you like such a nice like summary of who I was. But then like now after COVID or during COVID, like it's such a bigger struggle, and like I'm currently struggling to figure out like who I am or like what's important to me, because a lot of things that were important to me before are like not even on my priority list at all right now. So yeah. things are just changing, and like we just wanted to have this conversation to say like, you know, it's okay if you don't know who you are, and like if you're still having like struggles, because it's a lifelong journey. But that's all that we have for you guys today, and we hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, and we really encourage you all to just take time to sit with yourselves, and obviously Doan and I are going to be doing this a lot too, mm-hmm. and just reflect about your own journeys and who you are and like the experiences that you've had. And we'd also love to hear if you guys were able to find bits of yourself in our stories.
And remember to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Real Talk Real Muslims. Share and discuss this episode with your friends or your family, or just think about it by yourself. And check out our full episodes on multiple different platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever else there are podcast episodes, we have it. And there's a link in our social media bio for you to find all the places to check out all of our previous full episodes. Make sure to also give us any feedback by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, DMing us on social media, or emailing us at realtalkrealmuslims@gmail.com.
That's Real Talk Real Muslims for you.
Bye!